Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, I'm excited today to bring you the word as we gather together today. It's a lovely reminder of why we gather every week and worship Him. And, you know, Good Friday, interestingly enough, historians, both Roman and Jewish historians from the past, actually speak to the universal agreement around this day. Have you ever considered the fact, maybe you've never heard the story of Jesus before, we're going to unpack that with you today, but for over centuries, we stop on Good Friday. The world stops on Good Friday in recognition of the day that Jesus was crucified. And historians right across the centuries and from the first century actually say that Jesus existed, that Jesus was crucified, and he died as a result. And it's one of the very clearest things that history points to, that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again. And today we get to celebrate, which seems really odd, the death of Jesus. Celebrate and death don't really often go together. Would you agree? But today is the day for the Christian church, for the Christian people and believers. It marks the day that everything changed for everybody. For all mankind forevermore, it changed over 2,000 years ago. I'm going to read to you today a passage of scripture that actually captures this story of Jesus' death. And I need it to be said that Jesus is actually incorrectly tried by the Jewish leaders at the time. And this is where we're going to find ourselves in the story. I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through to 39. There is a fair bit of scripture. For those who are new, we're going to see the scripture on the screen so you can read along with me in what the scriptures say. And this is what it says. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner. This is Pilate. Whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was claimed with his fellow rebels that he committed murder in the rebellion. And then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. Previously, the Pontius Pilate would release a prisoner once a year at this time of And it goes on and says, but Pilate answered to them, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that they should rather release Barabbas, a murderer, to them. Pilate answered to them and said again, what then would you have me do with whom you call the king of the Jews? So they cried again, crucify him. And then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried all the more, crucify him. And so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them and delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away to the hall called Pergamum, where they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple. They twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, saying, hail, the king of the Jews. They struck him on the head with a reed. They spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him in mockery. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple cloth off him, put on his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And when they compelled a certain man named Simon from Cyrene, the father of Alexander, the Rufus, as he was coming out of the country, passing by, to actually bear the cross of Jesus. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. And then they gave to him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him, and an inscription of accusation was above, the king of the Jews. And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying, and it was numbered with his transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now descend from the cross and see and believe. And even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Allah, Allah, Lama, Shamata. I can't say that last word. I tried so hard to practice it. I apologize. I butchered it. But which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those stood by, and when they heard this, they looked, he's calling for Elijah. Then someone ran with a sponge filled with sour wine, put a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let him see if Elijah will come and take him down. And then Jesus cried with a loud voice, breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And so when the centurion who stood opposed to him saw, he cried out like this and breathed his last and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. This passage of scripture is quite long, but if you go through the others in the Gospels, they're longer. This is the shortest passage. It's written by Mark, and it is written to a Gentile or a Roman world to give us the pure facts of the crucifixion of Jesus. It was at this time that Pilate had Jesus brought to him after he'd been taken to Herod by the Jewish leaders who had incorrectly tried him for blasphemy in the middle of the night. And he had to be taken during the day and brought into a place where he could be judged. He's brought before Pontius Pilate, who authorizes his execution, going with the crowd because of crowd pressure. And in the other passages, it says that Pilate brings out a bowl of water, takes his hands, puts them into the water, washes them and wipes them with a cloth and literally washes his hands of the blood and responsibility of the death of Jesus. The chief priests in this passage and in others reject him and have stirred up the crowds to come against this King Jesus. The soldiers mocked him and they beat him. And today, because we have children in our service, I cannot descriptively describe to you the degree of beating that he took on his body. Many of you may have seen the Passion. It would have been a beautiful thing for me to be able to read this passage and to have portions of the Passion movie shown behind me to actually help us understand what it is that they did. You see, because crucifixion was a Roman method to actually execute people who were criminals. And when the soldiers mocked him and beat him, Jesus' body is broken and bleeding as a result, and then he is nailed to a cross and crucified as a criminal. Yet innocent and blameless. Interestingly enough, the crowd that sneered him and insulted him, mocked him for this very reason, the scribes sat there and actually demanded that he bring himself down from the cross to do a miracle. And yet the question that is asked, if you take a look with me in Mark chapter 15, verse 14, from Pilate is this: why? What evil has he done? Luke chapter 23, which won't be on the screens for you today, but Luke chapter 23, verse 14 says this. It says, "You've brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. And neither did Herod, for I sent him back, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him." Goes on and says, "Therefore, I'll chastise him." And three times Pilate asks the question. Pontius Pilate asks the question to the people: would you have me release him or release Barabbas? There is nothing this man has done because he, my friend, is innocent. What evil has he done? Today we celebrate Easter and we titled it, "What He Has Done." What he has done. Because the reality is, what Jesus' death has achieved has done something for every single person on the face of the earth, if they would so choose receive. But what he had done was nothing. Jesus remains silent in these accusations and in these conversations. He is inspected by the leaders at the time and Pontius Pilate and is found to be completely innocent of sin. What is sin? Sin is what you and I have done. It's what they did to Jesus. Sin is this independence, this disobedience, and this disbelief of what actually God has done. And sin had an origin. Do you remember that in Genesis, the beginning of time, God creates Adam and Eve? And in the creation of Adam and Eve, he desires relationship with them and has intimate relationship with them where he walks in the cool of the day and in the cool of the night with them. And he is in relationship with them. And God created mankind so that they could be connected and in relationship with one another. And the origin of sin takes place in this garden in the beginning of time. When God says to Adam and Eve, "You can eat of anything in the garden except for this one tree." And for many of us, we know that they ate of that tree, deceived by Satan as a serpent in the garden. They take and they eat of this fruit of the tree. And sin enters into humanity. Why? Because when God said to Adam and Eve, "The only thing you can't do is this," he wasn't choosing to hold back his goodness from them. He was calling them to obediently walk in relationship with him. And in that moment, literally, they take and they eat of this tree and they eat of this fruit, and sin enters the world. In disobedience, they ate. In independence, they chose to think that they knew better because they were deceived by Satan. And in disbelief of God's goodness, that thinking that he was holding something back from them, they chose to engage. And in that moment, sin enters into the world. And that what is the result of sin? It's separation. God comes back into the garden to meet with Adam and Eve as he usually would. And as he walks into the garden, he comes in and he can't see them and can't find them. It's not because he lost them. It's because they were hiding. It's not because God didn't know what they had done. He literally walks into the garden and he asks them this question. He says to them, "Where are you?" That question is not a question of judgment, of condemnation. That question is a question to help them recognize, do you realize that you and I are separated? We are in separation. This is what sin does. It separates us from a holy God because God cannot be where sin is. And sin, as it enters into the world, causes the greatest separation between God and man. God did not create man to just automatically obey him. He created them to have free choice to be able to choose to be in relationship with him. And as the story goes, literally the next question I want you to come with me to see is in Genesis 3:13. For those who don't have a Bible and for those who will find it quicker to turn your eyes to the screen, you will see this scripture. Literally, God comes after he's asked them where they are, has found them in the garden, and he asks them this question: what is it that you have done? See, when Jesus was asked the question by Pilate, what evil has he done? He was innocent. When God comes into the garden and to find Adam and Eve, he asks them the very same question: what is this you have done? They become aware of their guilt and of their shame. They become aware of their mess and their brokenness and their separation from God. Then it goes to Genesis 3:21. Adam and Eve have tried to, if you've seen the cartoons, they've tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Do you ever see those on the cartoons? Yeah. They've tried to cover themselves with fig leaves because they are trying to cover their guilt and their shame because they have realized that they are naked as a consequence of sin. And as they do that, God comes in and Genesis 3:21 says this, that he clothed them with lambskin. Have you ever considered why he had to clothe them? As Adam and Eve are in this garden, they are clothed themselves. But in order for relationship to be restored and for sin to be forgiven, a sacrifice had to be made. And it says that God himself came and clothed them with lambskin. And this is the beginning of the institution of the lamb sacrificed for sin. It initiates this whole process where God would reveal to mankind, there are not enough sheep to cover your sins, and there is way too much sin in your life for you to try and work this out for yourself. I am going to provide you a way. And when Jesus is asked the question, what evil has he done? He remains silent. When they were asked what evil they had done, they answered the question with blame. Oh, it was the woman. Remember that moment? It's like, oh, she did it, all right? And then she's like, oh, the serpent, he did it. He deceived me. And yet Jesus, in his innocence, remains silent. He is the complete picture of what it was meant to be for us to have relationship with the Father. He is this complete picture of a lamb laid down for mankind. See, the reality is, this Easter, it's not about anything that Jesus has done wrong. It's about everything that he did right. See, you and I are guilty of sin and we are separated from God without him. And the Bible says, not only does sin separate us from God because he is holy and cannot be where sin is, but the Bible also tells us in Romans, in chapter 3:23, it says that all have sinned. There is not one who is righteous. Jesus himself was the only one who was able to live a right life and go to a cross and pay a price that you and I could not pay for ourselves. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that is why a lamb had to be sacrificed. The wages of sin is death. Death is the response for what has taken place. Adam and Eve, when you know they, God said to them, go into the garden, and if you eat of this tree, you'll die. Did they die physically? They didn't die physically. They died in their relationship with God. They died spiritually. They died in connection with God. And what Jesus did is he came and he died on a cross. And that is why it is Good Friday, because he paid a price. Because John chapter 1 says, here comes the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He came as a lamb, as a substitute for you and I, to actually go and die on a cross and pay a price once and for all mankind, that you and I might be found in right relationship with him again. Because that's how much he loves us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He didn't just say the Israelites, the Jewish people, the good people, the elite people. He said the world. And over 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating the death of Jesus. And yes, it seems like an oxymoron, because it is. Because in his death, we now find right relationship with him. And that, my friends, is why we celebrate Good Friday. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated his love towards us. That even while you and I were sinners, that he died for us. He died for us. Friends, today is the best day, because you are hearing the good news on Good Friday. And I don't know if you know him as a far-off, distant God waiting to smack you over the head, or lightning bolts shoot you through as you come to church because that's the fear you're carrying. I'm here to tell you, friend, he loves you. He loves you. He came. He laid his life down for you so that you could be reconciled and reunited with God in relationship with him. But he's never looking for robots or people that would just be obligated. He's looking for people who choose. He's looking for people who choose. And he died on a cross so that you didn't have to, and he paid a price for sin. But come with me to Mark 15, verse 38, because this is important. Because not only did he pay a price so that you didn't have to, but this is what the scripture tells us. It says, then the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Friend, I'm telling you right now, he tore a veil that was as thick from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Why? Because he came down to reach into our world so that we didn't have to. And he pulls apart the things that would separate us from God. As a result of Jesus dying on the cross, in that moment, it is torn open and it gives every single person access to God the Father through Jesus Christ, who paid a price. Oh, friends, today's a day to be grateful. And if you're a believer in this place, today should be the day that you are rejoicing, because there was a price paid for your mess, your brokenness. And there is nothing, past, present, or future, that can separate you from the love of God. You are his and he is yours. And you can walk with him and do life with him, no longer on your own, no longer bound by sin, no longer bound by guilt and shame, but in right relationship with him. Does it make you perfect? No, but he was, so that you could walk in the blessing of God's perfection. You've got access. You know, it's really interesting what he has done has changed the future for everybody. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us the greatest gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is Jesus. He came over 2,000 years ago. He lived, he died, and he rose again, giving us a life with him. And friend, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You can know God and you can no longer be separated from him. You can actually be forgiven and no longer be bound by guilt, shame, condemnation. And you can have eternal life, no longer perishing. And friends, his death has sparked a movement across the earth that has lasted over 2,000 years. It ain't dying out. It ain't dying out, because the gospel still changes lives. Jesus' sacrifice is just as powerful as it is back then and as it is right now. In 2026, we find ourselves here. But the question is, what will we do, or what will our response be to what he has done? What's our response? See, Barabbas, he got a free pass. And he actually just left and went and lived his life. Jesus went as a substitute for him. He never came back. Pilate, he washed his hands. He followed the crowd. The soldiers, well, they mocked him. The chief priests, they rejected him. They stirred up angst against the good news. The scribes, well, they just demanded a miracle or demanded proof. You know, if you're him, come down from the cross. Oh man, 3 days later, we get to celebrate that on Sunday. The crowd, they sneered at him and they insulted him. There were two robbers, one mocked him and then one turned and believed and said, hey, will you allow me to be with you? And Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. One guilty, one not guilty, made a way. The question is, what is our response today? Do you believe in him? Do you reject him? Do you mock him? Or today, like the centurion in verse 39, will you say, truly this man is the Son of God? Surely this man is the Son of God. What is our response today? Every person is given freedom, free will, like Adam and Eve, and like the rest of humanity since Jesus came. And friend, today, the decision is yours. Will you receive him? Will you believe him? And will you confess that Jesus is Lord? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from separation. Saved from sin. Saved to live a life in relationship and connection with him and following him. It's a really good deal. And the Bible says that God searches the earth looking for those who would turn towards him. And it's his desire that none would perish, which is why he sent his son, so that we could have life with him. Believe unto righteousness and confess unto salvation.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.